And welcome, everybody. I didn't do an intro today. We're just going to get straight into the show. Whenever I have a guest, I don't want to waste everybody's time with my intros. With usually I just run the chairs against the wall thing from the scene from Red Dawn. But on Mondays, we go live, and we attempt every Monday to talk to Second Amendment advocates to help give some motivation and inspiration and some awareness to people out there that might be interested in being active in support of what our Second Amendment protects or supporting those who do. So today we have on Derek from KidSafe. We were just talking off air that normally I try to do my first interview with people and give you an hour to talk about the why you do what you do and the how you do what you do. And I was just saying off air, I was giving Derek kind of an out because I'm sure he's done this a bunch of times, but yeah, you've been a sport, and I'd really appreciate it if you just take some time, maybe a quick elevator speech on, you know, what KidSafe is, but then let's give you as much time as you want to talk about why it is you do what you do, with the idea then that we are live here. You know, this will be a podcast, but then you'll be able to point people to this. So if you've got a somebody that's interested in what you're doing, why you're doing it, you know, this can be that content. But anyway, thanks again for joining us. It's been a while. We got to chat last week at the San Diego, and that got us, kind of spurred us to do this, but it's been too long. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. It was great seeing you and your co-host in San Diego, and I'm glad you made the drive. And so we were actually down from Oregon, so we had a thousand mile drive one way to do what we do, and so we were there to outreach to the public there in San Diego and get kids involved in the shooting sports through getting their first shots with BB guns.
And KidSafe started in 16.
Yeah, so the KidSafe Foundation, which I'm the president and founder of, it started back in 2016, and actually that weekend we went over 29,000 kids reached in the history of our organization. So that was a huge milestone for us. And believe it or not, we've reached probably over 21,000 kids through those BB gun ranges. And so that gives us the opportunity. We do a little safety brief with the kids. You know, they put on safety glasses and then they get to step inside this range, which is totally enclosed. And it's made for shooting BB guns. And then they get to experience pressing the trigger and hitting the target. And, you know, we get to celebrate them, and the families come together and see that it's completely normal to shoot BB guns. It's completely fun. It's safe if done properly. And that's what we're trying to do, is just expose families to our two-way rights and, you know, getting the next generation involved in the preservation of our civil liberties is really something that we really need to be focusing on as an industry. And I don't see many people that are doing it. And I think it's something that we are definitely not going to be successful going into the future unless we engage with the kids.
Right on, kids. It's kind of like the issues with we have with schools. It takes a little bit, there's a longer time frame, but with schools, you're only in college, let's say, for 4 years, or in some other kind of school, usually for less than 8 years. So, you know, the time span that a student is in is finite, and instructors, well, we don't have very many instructors that would be permanently at schools to petition for like campus carry. So with parenting with kids, you know, kid has a I don't know what the time frame is with, you know, I guess it depends on the person when you're going to start your kid with, you know, experience with firearms or firearm safety or education. And then there's some time frame when the kid leaves home. So you've got that window, like say it's probably a little bit longer dwell than schooling, but still there's just that window. And if someone has kids, they're probably interested in this topic for a while. And then once the kids are beyond that point, until they have grandkids, they might not come back to address this. I think that's one of the reasons the issue kind of well, it hasn't been addressed as much as it probably could have or should have.
Well, I mean, currently right now, and like in the climate that we have, it can be a polarizing topic, which I understand. I mean, there's people that are, you know, fearful because they're not educated on the topic of gun safety, and especially gun safety with kids. And so as an organization, that's what we're trying to do is bring gun safety to the forefront. Because if we can normalize gun safety, then we can reduce childhood mortality rates, which is going to help preserve our two-way rights going forward. And it's a way for us to change this narrative. There's a big narrative that they push around where, you know, guns are bad. Guns should be something you'd be fearful of. you know, and kids and guns is definitely a kind of a taboo. And that's what we're trying to say. No, it's all these kids can do this if taught properly. And that's how we kind of, we move the needle in a way we need it to go. You know, the guns are not bad. You know, we have bad actors. And so unfortunately, you know, the bad actors are the ones that you get shown on media, also in on YouTube and, you know, across the interwebs, you know. And so, you know, it's our job to make sure that we can present a message that's, you know, not polarizing, but it's a way for, it's inviting, it's welcoming, it's positive, because there's nothing to be afraid of if used properly. And that's what we're trying to do and showcase with young children.
And I was trying to bring up the website here so that if I needed to, I could screen share. You kind of appreciate that. Thanks for kind of describing Kids Safe in a nutshell. I'm sure mm-hmm. we'll have some more here. But I probably should start with this. Is there an interview let me ask you a question to start it off with here. Is there an interview that you've done either recently or in the past that you can recall that would be a good one for people to listen to maybe describe Kids Safe the best, or the history or the origin story?
Well, origin story. So I did a video for our YouTube a while ago, which talks about the origin story about how, you know, I had a situation that happened. Actually, it was 11 years yesterday, where I was put in a position where I was unarmed and I caught a guy inside of my vehicle. I ran around the hood of my truck and I didn't have my gun. My gun was on my kitchen counter at the time. And so he was getting up and I basically put him on the ground. I fought with him for about 10 minutes on the ground until my girlfriend came out with a pistol grip shotgun, which allowed her to control the muzzle, call 911. And so the cops came about 8 minutes later. And so we were about 20 minutes into this whole ordeal, you know, when 8 cops, 8 flashing lights, 8 sirens, nobody woke up. And it was from that experience that I became an instructor. I also became a civil, you know, an advocate for my civil liberties. And then I started this really cool foundation, the Kids Safe Foundation, back in the original idea and thought came to me in the middle of the night in back in 2014, when I realized that I was potentially, it was like the hand of God was telling me that I had to protect the kids. And at the time I didn't know what it meant. I thought maybe I had too much Red Bull and I was hallucinating, but it was really the universe, you know, speaking to me. And luckily for me, I was in a position where I could turn that voice into action. And now here we are, you know, 29,000 kids have been reached and protected and educated through this journey that I've been on. And I'm blessed to continue to keep going forward.
Right on. So to get, just to kind of jump, I'm trying to keep some notes here. And so that, to kind of wrap up what we were talking about a moment ago, when you mentioned I'm going to call it the shoot house, but it's not a shoot house. It's the BB gun range.
Yeah.
Got a couple of pictures here from over in San Diego.
Yeah.
if it's going to cycle through them, it's just going to cycle through all of them. So I'll just bring this one up. This kind of shows more the length of it. So it inflates like a bounce house or like a jumping castle type of thing. Are these designed for like summer camps, or are these designed for, well, like for a park or something, like a bounce house? I mean, they're
They are great. We've blown them up on near lakes, city parks, in gymnasiums, you know, anywhere we can.
There's
two lanes.
But there's two lanes next to each other. So you can do this in a hallway.
And you'll see there's a little notch. With the notch, that's where the muzzle's going to go for those guns. So everything's enclosed. We put a target on the two strings that you'll see there on the top, and we're able to wheel those targets out so the kids can actually shoot just like a regular range.
And it's got all the features. So you kind of step into this area where you can go safe, and you've got a place to a gun rack and everything. And then you're using BB guns. So this says Daisy on it. Is this something that Daisy makes, or is this?
Yeah, this is a Daisy shooting educational range, and they're inflatable. They're a great tool. We have some Daisy Red Riders that I modified because I wanted to reach smaller kids, shorter kids. And some of the Red Riders, we had an issue with the length of pull. And so I had a friend that's a machinist that I on a napkin, I made this doodle of this collapsible stock on the Red Rider. And so he was able to make a custom trunnion, and then we put a buffer tube in there. And so now we put Magpul adjustable stocks on them. So now I could have kids as young as 3 years old shooting BB guns. I could have adults, big kids shooting BB guns. And so, you know, it's a fun way to get kids involved. And if you've never shot a BB gun, this is your opportunity. I had parents that shot with us that never would have had the experience to shoot a BB gun unless they had come join us there in San Diego. So I think that was one of my biggest takeaways from being whenever I'm down there, because there was 2 years I couldn't get down there because of legislation, because it was illegal for me to market to children, even though I was trying to teach gun safety to kids. Luckily that law was struck down by the Supreme Court. And so now we could go back into California. But what's really kind of hard to follow here is the fact that these kids there's no exposure to gun safety. I mean, it's literally, you know, typically if I go into community, there's about 60 to 70% of the kids that have already been experienced in gun safety, which is great for us as an organization. But in California is about 30 to 40% because, you know, those laws in California are so restrictive that the parents don't educate their kids, because the gun they used to have that used to be legal is now illegal because of further restriction. And so they don't want to take a chance of educating the kid and then the kid going to school or telling a friend. And that's, you know, how they can possibly be prosecuted. So, you know, these strict restrictive laws is actually counterproductive to the safety of the kids of that state.
Was the legislation that California put in place, was that the one that was against the advertising of firearms, or was it training of firearms?
It was the marketing and advertising of firearms to children. Yeah.
And they consider a safety education and awareness seminar, or whatever you call, like just a free class, whatever you call that, like they'd consider that advertising.
Yeah, and marketing, yeah, because we had promotional material. Obviously, everything that we put on online, you know. So, you know, that was one of the biggest challenges for those 2 years. And luckily, it was struck down because it was unconstitutional. And so now, you know, everything's back to normal, or as normal as it can be in California. And so we were glad to be there to kind of, you know, get the public up to speed when it comes to gun safety with their kids.
All right, so going back to the big picture of the conversation, then the why. So you've kind of described the origin story. You know, I don't want to set it up. I just like to leave it open-ended. I don't know if you've ever listened. It's been a while now. I used to say this in the beginning because it was a little more recent, but there's a guy called James Kalita out of New Jersey, and he did good. So I based this conversation, these interview shows off of his podcast, because in the day, he would usually just start his show and go, okay, I'm with Derek Levac from Kid Safe, go. And then he would just shut up for about 20, 30 minutes and let the person talk. And it was a little awkward because they would just kind of go off the top of their head. So I try to give you some direction. And like I said, since there's so many people that are either creating content or are trying to support people that are creating, or, you know, create Second Amendment activists, let's get into that why. So
the why.
I'll just leave it open-ended. Why do you do what you do?
So why do I do what I do? Because I think the most important thing is I love my freedoms. I love my civil liberties. And I'm very blessed to where I grew up in Oregon. Is my father gave me my first BB gun at 3 years old. And it was, you know, I shot the barrel out at six by the time I was six, you know, and so now I'm able to go full circle and give that gift that my father gave to me to other children, and to make sure that these freedoms and these traditions that we all hold so near and dear to our hearts, because there's something that are really, really important to us, you know, going back to the founding of our country. The only way we preserve these civil liberties and these rights is by, you know, giving that knowledge transfer that I got from my dad, and be able to give it to others, and to make sure that ember continues to glow. And, you know, it's scary. These are very scary times. And, you know, this is where people like me step into this gap, because we have the experience, we have the knowledge, we have the passion, and we also have a very, you know, reasonable approach when it comes to, you know, our two-way rights. And so, you know, that's kind of what my motivating factor now is, just obviously I'm protecting every kid. I want to protect every kid. But I also want to make sure that they understand the rights and responsibilities that comes with owning a gun, and how they protect those gun rights going forward into the future.
Now, there's Eddie Eagle already existed. There's there's Project Kids Safe. I think that's what it's called.
Child Safe
from NSSF. Yeah. So in 2016, what was it, or what was the circumstances where you were like, you had the audacity to think that you could do something better than the NRA or NSSF?
Well, I had to look at where I was at. Where I was located, it is in Eugene, Oregon, very left of center. And that's when I first did my Google search on gun safety, when I was like, I had the universe speak to me, you know, there was one program that Eagle, like you mentioned, by the NRA, but being from Eugene, Oregon, like I didn't want to reach 5 kids. I want to reach 500 kids or 5,000 kids or 5 million. I knew that, you know, with, you know, the polarizing way things are viewed at the NRA, that would have been a tough sell for me. And so that's why I started kind of putting my thoughts together. And I started with an outline, and then I put my first PowerPoint together, which is all these, you know, random thoughts that I was trying to put out to teach the kids. And then I would borrow my friend's kids, and I would go to either their house or we'd meet somewhere, and I would do a little presentation just to work on the timing, the messaging, you know, how the kids resonated with the message that I was presenting. And so there was lots of trial and error. And that's why it took about 2 years to put this all together, because, you know, some would work, other parts would not work. And so this is actually the first gun safety program that's actually for the kids by the kids. And what I mean by that is, these kids were in the beginning stages of our program. They were the ones that they helped kind of put this all together, because, you know, I'd have stuff that I would cross out if it wouldn't hit home, if it wouldn't resonate. And so that's what was pretty amazing, is how now we're, you know, almost nine years into this program, where I can actually track the beginning of the process. And I got a message the other day from one of the parents that, you know, her son was actually in the first class that was open to the public, and now he's graduating from high school. And so it's pretty cool to see, you know, as our program's grown, so is the children that came and actually were part of the very beginning. And so, you know, that's kind of, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. You know, I will say the Eddie Eagle, you know, it served a purpose, but it's outdated. It hasn't been, you know, we're like the new millennium, you know, and we're talking about Project Child Safe. You know, cable locks are not gun safety. And, you know, I will, that's my flag to plant, is cable locks are not gun safety. And so it's very often where I see, and we're kind of like almost like the stepchild because of what we do. And, you know, and I'm over here, you know, kind of screaming at the top of my lungs that, you know, nobody uses gun locks. Nobody uses gun, you know, cable locks. And it's just, we have to change the thought process. We have to understand that there is new technology. There's new ways to teach. There's other organizations that are doing the work, and they could really use the support from those big orgs. And, you know, so that's kind of where I'm going forward with my mission is to get them on board and say, hey, okay, this guy has some points. This guy's got some experience. This guy's done some things. Maybe we should give them the opportunity to kind of hear him out. And so I'm not sure what that looks like, but that's what I continue to do, because, you know, we struggle, you know, with funding. Funding is one of our biggest challenges. But, you know, we just keep going because it's something I believe in what we do. And I know there's many people just like you around the country that believe in what we do. And so that's what kind of keeps us going.
I appreciate you being able to, or being willing to let me kind of just give you the mic like that and leave it hanging. I won't leave it hanging too much. I did make a couple of questions here as you're chatting, and some that I've had. I think the next one to ask, the next question asked, did you do any other activism before KidSafe? Was this the first effort in this?
Well, I remember my first, like when my, so my situation that I explained to you about how I was unarmed and I, you know, basically we were the good people with the gun because we didn't have to fire a shot. I do remember back in 2014, I was a brand new instructor and I gave my first speech on the Capitol steps in Oregon. I had a pistol grip shotgun slung over my shoulder. And I remember my first speech, there was about 500 people. And, you know, it was still raw. It was like a really emotional time for me with this situation. And I realized as I'm kind of yelling at the crowd, hoping I would get the response that I needed, that I only had about 10 or 20 people that clapped. And then it's kind of this light bulb that went off and says, my messaging isn't what I needed it to be. So I had to obviously invest in myself. I had to invest in, you know, Toastmasters. I had to learn how to write speeches. I had to, there's all these personal development that I undertook after that. So I could, you know, convert more of those people that are in the crowd to on my side, my position. And so it's worked out over the years. You know, I've been blessed to be able to speak in all over different parts of the country and share my mission about Kids Safe and empower my neighbors and my friends to, if I can do it, you can do it. That's kind of the one thing I'll leave today with is, if I can do it, you can do it. And so it's all about us coming together as a community and understand that we all have different strengths. We all have different weaknesses, but it's what we can do to work together as a collective to stay together and present ourselves in a way that, you know, we are the gun lobby. Like I am the gun lobby and I'm proud of that. I'm loud and I'm proud that I'm a gun owner and I'm never going to back down from that. And my goal is to make sure that I give people a voice that need a voice. And, you know, currently right now, the people that need the voice is the kids. You know, if we do not hold the line where we're currently at, there's going to be no freedoms left for them, you know? And so that's something that is really, really important to me, is making sure that, you know, we hold the line currently where we're at. Maybe we take, you know, some ground, maybe we'll get some rights back, because the government's never going to give our rights back. We have to figure out how we take them back in a peaceful and responsible way.
Don't like to interrupt people when you're talking, but they brought up a bunch of the interesting questions as you talk there. Anybody that's listening live, feel free to ask questions. We're not going to hit them right away, but a couple of things I've already starred here that we'll address here in a bit. Sounds like often things are taken for granted, right? We assume that our values are shared and we assume that others are going to somehow understand our values or get our values somehow. Like, I don't think very many of us went to a values class. I certainly didn't in school or anything. So that was a combination of the actions of my parents and grandparents and their friends, right? And seeing the good and bad of decisions from people. So I think there's a big piece of that. The Ronald Reagan quote about the generations and, I think you've probably heard that one before. I don't know it off the top of my head, but you know, like freedom isn't in our blood. It's passed down. So it sounds like the reason you're doing this is to act on that instead of assuming that it's just going to happen.
Well, yeah. And I think I have a lot of people here in Oregon because we had a really bad gun, you know, a battle over our gun rights here. And I have a lot of people that say, you know, they thank you for all you did. And I'm quick to correct because I didn't do it for them. I did it for myself. My rights are important. And the way I looked at it is all the work that I did in the advocacy, their rights are a byproduct of the work that I did to defend my rights. And so we lose because we don't get involved. We don't get off the couch. We always think that someone else will do the work for us. You know, this law will never go into effect because we know at the end of the day, it's unconstitutional, but that doesn't stop the other side from continuing to, you know, put up these bad legislation, you know? And so I guess the biggest thing that we can take from any of this is understand is we lose when we don't show up. We lose when we let somebody do that fighting for us. You know, a good example with NRA, you know, as I ever put, you know, for the many years is a lot of people put a lot of stock in the NRA, but look at how it was, it was mismanaged, and you know, they had misappropriation of funds. You know, there's some people should be going to prison. And you know, there's so many people around the country that believe that the end all be all was the NRA, yet the NRA was not doing the work that they needed to do to help preserve all of our freedoms, you know. And so, you know, that's where, you know, we have to get involved at a local level, a state level, you know, write legislation. You know, that's a really effective thing. Like I wrote legislation here in Oregon back in 2019 that I'm trying to go into different states and implement my legislation. But that's a way where we can take that microphone back from the other side by interjecting stuff that we know can work, because we're all, you know, expert witnesses on our own little thing. It could be muzzle loaders, it could be black rifles, you know, it could be handguns. You know, we all have our own expertise. And so if there's something that we want to see fixed about the system, we could write legislation and we can get it penned. And if we work the system correctly, we can turn it into something. You know, we just had two more states that are now constitutional carry states, which is huge. So now we're at 29 states across the country. And so, you know, the way we do that is we put pen to paper and we do what our founding fathers intended for us. And, you know, we work the steps the way they did.
I'm going to go in a different direction just because there's a bunch of, I've been writing down stuff and I don't want to just write the last thing I wrote down here. So, going back to earlier when you were describing, the concept of, or at least a big portion of KidSafe is setting up, the range and actually giving kids some experience. Now that happens both like what we talked about in San Diego at the gun show, but then you'll also have events that either you show up at or that are specific for kids to show up. So in those, and you mentioned also that you're somewhere around 20,000 kids that have attended these. I was going to ask, what percentage of the parents have shot BB guns as a kid? Is this something where parents who know about BB guns are bringing their kids because they don't have a chance wherever they live? Or is this something like where it's just new to both the parent and the kid?
I think there's a big mix of both. I feel like depending on where I'm at, like we go from Eugene south on I-5, and you know, it's generational. You know, like the era that you and I grew up in, you know, BB guns and shooting BB guns was completely something that we did. And so I do see, you know, parents that are, you know, our age or a little bit younger, like they grew up shooting BB guns. So this is all, you know, very common for them, you know, and even then I do see parents that might not necessarily be on our side politically that do see the importance of giving their kids different life experiences, which is great for us because now we can kind of plant that seed in their mind. Like, hey, your kid, you know, your kid listened very well. Your kid understood the safety rules. Have you ever thought about maybe buying him a BB gun? You know, so you guys could, cause it's a way for them to spend time together. That's the way I kind of sell it, is a way for, it's a family bonding experience. You know, whenever we're on the range, whenever we're in a class, you know, when we're using the BB gun ranges, everything's about the family and the family nucleus. And so I think, you know, that's one of the most important things going forward is, you know, as a family unit, we're stronger together. And that's what's going to help, you know, keep these rights and these traditions and everything that we love, you know, going forward is it has to be a family affair. You know, and I think a lot of it comes down to empowering the moms to get involved in advocacy work, you know, with, you know, the Women for Gun Rights and the DC Project. You know, that's really, really important. It's also, you know, getting the kids involved in the shooting sports and letting parents know that there's, you know, scholarship opportunities for their kids if they want to get involved. You know, so there's so many more benefits to our 2A rights and in the shooting sports than are really advertised. And so we're trying to normalize that. It's what we're trying to do.
I feel like there's got to be something too when you've got that abstract idea of a BB gun, you know, someone especially who hasn't ever experienced one or even been around one. Because not every, I mean, even when you talk about when we were kids, we've talked about like, you know, that we've grown up with BB guns, but that wasn't everybody. Some people didn't like BB guns. Some people just didn't want their kids to have BB guns or whatever circumstances. You know, some people had them, but not everybody did. So, but that idea, concept of a BB gun, if you only seen that one movie with your shoot your eye out kid or whatever,
shoot your eye out.
I forget, Christmas Story, I guess.
Yeah.
Be most people's experience, or maybe a cartoon or something. So I would imagine having the actual ability, you know, you're at the, you bring the range to the event and you go to other events besides strictly gun events. Right. So yeah. Now they've got that experience, you know, even if they don't, even if the parent doesn't let their kid go or the kid doesn't get to go, they get to be in the same world as that. They're going to see the sounds. They can't have any exaggerated ideas anymore. And they're going to see the pleasant experience that most people are having. I got to think that it's, you know, it's positive in, you know, in ways that are probably really difficult to measure.
Oh, it's like, I can't even put in, there's been so many events that we've done in public. And so when we show up, you know, you'll have, you know, people that are in red shirts and they set up their tables and they're very reserved and they have their talking points. And, you know, so they have their small little group of volunteers that are there to share their ideas and that stuff that comes from Bloomberg and every town. And then we show up, I back up a truck and trailer. I roll out this inflatable BB gun range. I plug it in and we roll this thing out. It blows up in literally 10 to 15 seconds. And now everybody, all of the attention that was focused there is now shifted to us. And they're like, well, what is this? And then you'll actually see crowds of people come over to us and we start engaging with them. We start teaching them gun safety. You know, sometimes we'll, depending on the event, we'll have snow cones. We'll be giving out snow cones and then we're shooting BB guns and you'll just see the oxygen just leave their booth. A lot of times they'll just pack up and go home because, you know, they just cannot compete because we're high octane. We're fun. You know, we're not about doom and gloom. We're about, you know, positive engagement. And, you know, that's where I feel that if we could all do this in different parts of the country, you know, we could all do what we could table a country fair somewhere in, you know, Kentucky, and we could do the same thing, the same blueprint where we make it fun and engage with the public and put a different face to, you know, gun ownership, you know, cause it's, they always have this preconceived notion on who we are and what we do and what we stand for, yet they don't take the time to actually have a conversation with us to know who we truly are. And so that's one of their biggest flaws is they stick to what they think they know, which really isn't the truth. And that's where we come in. We blow up the BB gun range and we have fun and we just totally take everything away from them.
Seriously, I was just thinking as a kid when we'd go to scouting events or something, when they bring all the troops or something together for like a jamboree or whatever they call the different events every once in a while, they'd bring everybody together. And if there was something with BB guns or something with archery, that got all the attention just because it's fun and it's interesting and you don't get to do it as often. So, I can't imagine if you're at an event where there's other things to distract, you know, you're going to have that magnet of interest just there. And then, you know, instead of just being like, hey, shoot a BB gun at something and win a prize, or shoot a BB gun and buy the BB gun, this is gun safety awareness. Like, there's rights here that are at risk. You're talking to, you're able to talk to people at different levels. If they're timid and intimidated, you have a conversation with them and there's ways to approach it. If they're, like you said, like unaware but willing to let their kid be curious, you know, you have ways to approach that. And if they're pro-gun people and they're just there to pull some triggers, then hey, let's talk about the rights that are going on. Let's talk about how we can get guns normalized and how we don't have to be persecuted for our property. So there's a lot of levels to the effect that you bring to the events.
Well, I think what the starkest contrast that we could draw between the Kids Safe Foundation and then, like, let's say a anti-freedom group, is the anti-freedom group is always going to have these open-ended solutions, right? Common sense, everything's common sense, right? Until you start asking these pointed questions and then they don't have an actual solution. Okay. So what common the Kids
sense.
Safe.
Just take away one dangerous item. It's common sense. If someone's just take away one dangerous item, it's problem solved.
Well, we've been doing it for 30 years. We've been doing it since 1994. And has it made us safer? You know, I would argue that no, it's gone in the opposite direction because we've given you guys all the power. And so, you know, when we're getting back to the KidSafe Foundation, like we can give them something tangible that they can walk away from a class because there's substance behind it. It's not, I remember, was it Clint Eastwood where he had the empty chair? Remember the empty chair he had? It was hilarious the way he had this. It was at an award ceremony.
Was that for an award ceremony or was it a political? I think it was a political thing at an award ceremony.
Yeah, something like that. Well, anyways, he was talking about the empty chair. And so I would equate, you know, what they're doing when it comes to because they're trying to modify gun safety. They're trying to co-morph, gun safety by, you know, to keep you safe and your family safe, you must surrender your guns. Like that's their idea. So there's no, it's like an empty chair. It's an empty suit. There's no substance behind their message. And that's what, I guess that's our benefit is we bring something tangible, education, life experience, you know, fundamentals, you know, safety, discipline, and respect. All of that is what we bring to the table. And that's why we're, you know, light years ahead of them.
Yeah, their goal is safety from guns, you know, mm-hmm. safety by the lack of guns as opposed to safety with guns. And again, it's out of touch because you take safety from guns. Okay, great. So you've taken guns away. Now what? Knives? Okay, now what? Three-story buildings? Cars. Now what? Cars? You know, anything that can, you know, so it doesn't make sense logically, but again, because they have been able, well, we're getting into other things, but since they've been able to kind of change the narrative and take guns away where other things, abstinence won't work, but with guns, abstinence is the only option. You can't even bring it up in schools. Can't even talk about it. And like you said, they would even go after advertising, or they have successfully gone after advertising mm-hmm. Based on their opinion of what the advertising is going after.
Just one last thought on that is, you know, it's abstinence doesn't work, and we've proven that. And so I feel that there has to be a shift in the country where new ideas are presented, but we have to realize is how much money's attached to all of this. I mean, there's hundreds of millions of dollars attached to gun control. They make so much money. It's a gross lobbying way for them to elect, you know, politicians, you know, so we have to see the whole picture here and the big picture. So.
Oh, for sure. I believe that the back and forth, the big giant volleyball game here is that it's unquestioned. They say guns are bad. The other side says my rights, and they mm-hmm. just go back and forth because neither are addressing the actual issue. Mm-hmm. The issues are awareness and understanding, right? So what you're doing is you're letting both you're achieving both awareness and understanding with the next generation, mm-hmm. by educating the next generation. So again, mm-hmm. the kid who understands a little bit is going to now be able to question when they're told some crazy absolute. They're gonna, you know, and that's those, you know, the shifting sands that, you know, mm-hmm. start the erosion. But it's just they've created what they've created based on ignorance and lack of awareness, right? By taking guns away from our culture and creating these unrealistic, exaggerated, you know, movies and you know, media coverage of guns that's only violent and only bad. And yeah, it's very difficult. But again, you're bringing a BB gun range. You're not really, we haven't talked about this. I haven't ever asked. I don't think I've ever seen you, but do you bring like any kind of, I know you have like a couple of tables. I probably should have showed another picture here of the, you know, it's not just the BB gun range. You've got plenty of paperwork. You've got some handouts. Like you say, you have snow cones. You make it approachable, and you make it mm-hmm. where if there's a bunch of people in line, they've got something to look at and to understand. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. so you've got like something as basic as the four basic gun safety rules, but then more evolved stuff, I'm assuming, for either kids that know more or adults or kids that are older or whatever. So you've got like a range of stuff that you bring there mm-hmm. So again, even though I have two questions here, one that I was kind of found during my question here is, do you bring up anything about like the shooting sports that are like the ones that are involved with like the scholastic shooting sports or just the I'm trying to think of the word, but you know, like the actual organizations? Do you bring any kind, or maybe scouts or any of the other organizations that are like affiliated with shooting, like 4-H or things that have shooting? Do you bring any of that kind of stuff to?
We really should. We don't have any official partnerships or anything like that. Typically what we're doing is promoting the work that we do. We do offer range type classes. And so we offer a kids firearm safety 2, which is on the range with rimfire rifles. And we also follow that up with a teen rifle class, which, you know, starts with the teens. It starts, you know, talking about civics, you know, how they preserve their civil liberties going forward, you know. So
this is your own curriculum.
This is our curriculum. Yeah. Yes. And so. Okay.
So let me stop for a second, because that's actually really interesting. I was just going to say that by bringing the inflatable BB gun range, though, even if you don't have, like, you know, go shoot here for sport or go shoot here for like a, like you said, a college scholarship or something, there's grants, there's scholarships, there's just, you know, the fun of competing in the shooting sports. And I think I was trying to say organized sports before, because there's plenty of organized sports that are for all different kinds of shooting, from silhouette to cowboy to three gun, you know, all kinds of stuff. So even if you didn't bring all that, which just sounds like, you know, I was just asking the question if you brought that stuff to hand out. But if you're at a gun event or a shooting event, somebody's going to have a table with that stuff more than likely. Or if you're at a gun show, there's probably one of them represented or all of them represented. Now, if you're at something besides guns, then who cares? But I guess the reason I'm asking, or the reason I'm bringing it up, is because you're setting this thing up and it has the look. While it's a portable, it's not a device, it's a portable range. It definitely has the look of something that they would set up for competition. So I think just the concept of you setting up the range, one, it gives you that awareness of safety, that we care about safety, that something's actually been built. You didn't just hobble this. This is something that is built. It's manufactured for this. And that just gives that normalization is what I was getting at, that from that understanding that, hey, guns are to the point where we build inflatable houses to have BB gun events at places because the shooting sports is so normalized. And that's something that even if you hate guns and you're disgusted by them, there's no way you can walk past the Daisy BB gun range there and not understand that there's a lot of people, there's a lot of infrastructure. And while this isn't for indoctrinating little kids, it's obviously for safety and fun. You know, they can say it's indoctrinating all they want, but they understand that it's for educating and for safety and for fun. And that's where, like I say, it's just very difficult to be a sad sack where they're saying, hey, the only thing you can do is remove all guns from everyone and them. You know, everyone except the state can get rid of their guns. You know, that's their tangent here. But let's go back to the curriculum. So I had asked about, you know, why would you start KidSafe in 2016 when other things existed? I mean, kind of a leading question, because those other items, I'm not a big fan of child safe. I've never been. Like, we have different opinions on it, I suppose. But I was, just as someone who's a mild activist, a mild Second Amendment aware person, we had done strides. Like, we had done so well just as hunters and scouts and 4-H and the people that were around guns. We did so well for so long to reduce accidents that it was negligible. It has been almost negligible. Like, who would let their own children get hurt? Like, everyone is so adamant about that, that whenever we hear an accident, everyone doubles down on their own awareness. And that's been like that since ever, like forever. Like, these guns have been around for a long, long time, and we don't have accidents, and child safe constantly nags us as gun owners that we have to be safe all the time. Where I believe they could have challenged the narrative and said, you know, gun owners are some of the safest people on the planet. You want to know why? Because look how dangerous things could be, and they're not. And here's how we know, because here's history. But anyway, so I have a real issue with that, that they're missing the boat, I think. And they, like you say, they have some other issues. But the Eddie Eagle is just hated. It was started by Marion in the 80s as a reaction to essentially just the lack of that aspect. And to raise light, I think, back in the day, I don't want to speak for or whatever, speak for the project, but it was to raise light that, hey, you know, they want to suggest that guns must be dangerous because, look, they could be. But in reality, they're not that dangerous. We hardly ever have accidents. It's because everyone has massive due diligence around these dangerous things, just like there's not cordless drill accidents and there's hardly ever kitchen fryer accidents, right? Like, sure, there are, but in to the number of items there are out there that could be, you know, we're a very safe country. We're aware and care about our children. So instead of championing that, you know, I think that's what Ed Eagle was originally to do, just to champion that, to put something in schools. And then, you know, when it wasn't needed, I think because we had a competent country back in the 80s when it was created. It was there as an answer to something, but it wasn't really needed. So I think it might have been maybe to buffer when the schools, at least when I was a kid, the schools would bring police in and give you gun safety. And I think when that started to end or be resisted, maybe Eddie Eagle was for that. But then it sort of sat there. So I'm not excusing them. I'm just saying, like, I don't think they ever really put too much effort in it other than changing the costume every couple of years. They never updated curriculum, or it was just run away from a gun if you see one, which is fine for preschoolers. But yeah, it really, well, like I said, I just don't think anyone challenged them on it. I think they would have if someone would have. But it was just not an issue until the media started to promote the horrible things that people do at schools. And, you know, everyone knows if you want to be infamous, what to do, where, with what. And that's because the media constantly, you know, will make those people infamous. So that's when, you know, the guns and, guns and kids, I don't know where I was supposed to say, you know, that became a big issue in the 90s, maybe the 2000s, I guess, I don't really know. But anyway, so I can see those other projects sort of being sitting there. But as far as your project, I don't know, I just kind of ranted there, sorry.
It's okay.
The curriculum. So you decided to start an organization. How did the curriculum develop?
So, I mean, it took time. It took, you know, obviously I was not a computer guy at the time. And, you know, so I had to enlist the help of friends and I put things together. And then, you know, once I had something tangible that would work, then I had a friend that, you know, helped me with the graphic design and made it pretty. And then we got it trademarked and copyrighted in 2020. And so now we have a tangible curriculum that we can go across the country. If we can get the support that we need from the gun industry and we can do some big things together, you know, and it just, the gun industry is horrific about the way they prioritize their funding. You know, they'd rather, you know, put it towards things that are not just going to sell more guns instead of thinking about the long-term, you know, vision of the next generation. You know, like for some of these companies, when we go to SHOT Show, it's money they spend on booze and alcohol for the show. You give that to smaller organizations like mine or, you know, Walk the Talk America or Hold My Guns, you know, people that are doing the work. You know, you're going to see a drastic change in society if you invested in these organizations like mine, you know, and that's kind of my biggest beef is waking up the gun industry. The wolf's at the door. What are you doing about the next generation? What are you doing to engage with your future customer base? You know, obviously we're not trying to indoctrinate, but we have to look at the numbers. The numbers do not lie. The future of the gun industry is 18 to 25 year olds, you know, and then once, you know, they're older, then it's going to be the next group of future gun owners, you know? So what are we doing to make sure that we capitalize on them and, you know, make sure that they're safe, make sure that they're active, make sure they're, you know, working to help educate their friends so we can actually grow our base to, you know, make sure that we don't have to fight this stuff every year. You know, it's exhausting. It really is.
Yeah. The back and forth is, and then it wears people out. And then, we have to start all over with people that are new to the mix. And yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Well, just to touch on that last part you mentioned there, as far as the population sizes, it's been a while since we've had live conversations where we've brought this up, but in the past, for sure, we've had these kind of discussions, debates, or conversations about kind of the future or where things are going or how they're trending and how we get there, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, we had the boomer generation. The baby boom is because it was a ton of kids born after World War II when everybody came home from this giant world war. Everybody started having kids. Giant generation of it swelled, right? Like this giant generation of kids in the United States and probably around the world. Then they had kids, and I think that's our parents, right? And that, or maybe I don't remember, but then there's us, and you know, we had a small generation, and then there's the millennials. They had a little bit larger. From what I understand, though, that I don't know if it's the Z's or if it's the one after them, there's supposed to be a very large generation again as far as like percentage of the country's population. Have you ever looked into that?
No, I haven't.
Not... Okay, because I should take and check that out again. But I think it lays into what you're just talking about there, that, you know, we pay a lot of attention to the people that have got the money, you know, they're retired or they've, you know, got money to spend on hobbies and stuff, and maybe can buy more than one gun in that. And it's great for sales, but you're right. If we don't pay attention to the next generation, and that's not just adult gun owners, but whoever the next gen of gun owners are, or at least given gun owners means to have their kids involved, and it's not just an adults only event, then yeah, we're really risking the whole thing to just unawareness and disinterest at massive levels once people start to pass. So you talked about the origin story. We're getting towards the top of the hour, but I never asked why the name KidSafe. Where did the KidSafe come from?
So like it came to me one day. I was at work and I was thinking, you know, so the SAFE is an acronym. It's for safety around firearms education. And so that was kind of something that I wanted, something that would kind of speak to what we're trying to do. Also, you know, be a little bit more professional. And, you know, this is in the probably 2015. I think it was, you know, right before I filed for the 501c3 status. And so, you know, and I had that, then it's just been our name ever since. And I'm very proud of what we've done. And I get kind of emotional because I think of it as one of my children. Is I've watched this special little organization grow and grow and keep growing, and it's something that I'm really, really proud of. And I'm proud of the kids that have joined us over the years. I'm proud of the kids that have got involved in the shooting sports. I love seeing pictures of, I got a message last night from one of my friends in Hawaii, and his daughter just accepted an opportunity to come to Oregon, to go to Oregon State. So it's amazing how this little organization has opened up so many doors in my life, and has opened up so many doors in the lives of others around the country. And I'm really thankful to be in this position. I guess my biggest thing is we need funding, you know, and it's kind of a down economy. It seems like the gun industry is kind of hemorrhaging because they're not selling guns. And so it's made, you know, challenging, you know, funding challenging for me and others that are in our space, you know. And so, you know, we just keep going though. You know, we're not going to give up. We have something we provide. I believe we provide a very important service to the 2A community, and we're going to continue to keep whatever we got to do. We're going to make it happen and continue to win.
Right on. I've got a question here that kind of lays into that, but I'm going to wait and address some questions that came in from the audience from She Fires asked earlier, right at the beginning when we started talking, or maybe this is more of a comment, but she talks to her girls about all my firearms and recently took my youngest teen daughter to the range.
That's awesome. You know, that's really good.
And then I guess this one's more of a question. Thanks for being here. What types of orgs or groups are you reaching out to and are most receptive?
I feel that we work well with, you know, like 4-H shooting sports. When I was at SHOT Show, I was turned on to the Midway USA Foundation. And so I'm trying to get support from them. It seems like they're doing a lot of really great things for youth shooting sports, you know? So those are, you know, the ones, you know, we all have different lanes. We're all moving the same direction. We just have different lanes, and, you know, it's good and bad. But whatever we can do to get kids involved. I mean, this, you know, right now with what's happening, we have teachers, we have, you know, social media, sometimes parents that are fearful of guns, you know, they are telling the kids that guns are bad. You shouldn't be around guns. You shouldn't learn how to shoot, you know? And so we're just trying to change and give parents options. Parents need the option. You can either not educate your kid, which I highly encourage that you do, or you can get involved and see something that's really, really fun. And it's something that you guys can do together. Like She Fires, What a great day is to be able to spend time with your daughter at the range, teaching her important skills that really, as she gets older, is going to be very important to her.
Yeah, for sure. And even if she just goes to the range with somebody, now she's got actual experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my question, I guess I have two questions. I guess I'll put them in this order. What challenges have there been with kids and guns? I know that when I mentioned suicide on the channel, you can get dings on that. The algorithms don't know how to interpret that. Mm-hmm. With kids, though, there's a whole nother level because you got this whole, like, I don't know why, 13. At some point, 13 became the age. So essentially, everything I ever do, it gets marked. I'm not doing anything for under 13.
Yeah.
The way the internet works. How does that even work with the different platforms and socials and stuff? Like, I can't even imagine all the challenges there are trying to address both kids and adults at the same time. Because if it was just a kid's show, no problem. Turn it to kids, make it a cartoon, done and over with. You have to pay attention to the kids' rules, but who cares about the parents? But when you're trying to do both, I can't imagine it's an easy thing to accomplish.
Well, primarily, we're trying to reach the adults because we want the adults to be safe and obviously make sure their kids are safe. We don't market to children just because I prefer to market towards the adult because I think the adult should be taking in the content.
Okay.
I get a lot of stuff on YouTube about, you know, school shooters and stuff like that, which I try to push back on that because it's typically when I look at the profile, it's somebody that's either from out of the country or they don't have a profile picture. So it's probably either a bot or, you know, but, you know, showcasing what we do, it is challenging at times because people, they don't take the time because they see it in a short clip. They don't take the time to do the research on who the organization is. They get an emotional response from something they see on the video and then they fire off. They don't think about their response. They just put something that they think is funny, but it's actually hurtful, you know? And so I think a lot of it is we could do better on social media is think about how our comments could be perceived by others. You know, I try to think about that when I put something out, like I think about how my comment could be perceived or how it could be viewed by somebody that is not part of the conversation. You know what I mean? So I hold myself to a higher responsibility there because I don't want to bully people. I want to be respectful of people. Everybody's got their own opinions and they're entitled to them. And it's not my job to say that you're wrong. It's just my job to be able to educate, you know? And so it is a challenge at times. But I feel that if we are smarter with the way we educate and outreach to people that, especially people that don't know anything about guns, that's going to help us with conversions. If we can get those conversions, maybe we can convert them into gun owners or votes. You know, those are kind of something that I look at.
Awesome. So the last question that I've got, and if anybody else is out here watching us live, feel free to ask a question. Now, if you're listening as a podcast, that's how most people are going to be listening to this. You're not out of it. You can just do it through time travel. Ask a question in a comment somewhere. We're not so large that we don't read them. I can pass it along if it's something worth mentioning. Or I always invite our guests on. My goal is to invite a guest on each Monday, and then the last Monday of the month, start to get into a routine where I invite everybody who's ever been on the show in for just a conversation. So that nice. You know, it's just kind of like start a round table of, you know, a growing group of people. And whenever somebody's free or if they're watching and they have something to say, you know, they'll have an invite just to create a different type of round table.
Nice.
So if somebody does have a question in the future, feel free. And, you know, I'll definitely get it to Derek. But my last question is probably one you've got before and might be easy or might not be, depending on how you have, I don't know. So where's KidSafe going? 5 years, 10 years, where are you going?
5, 10 years. Okay. So I would love to go across the country. I would love to see this idea that I started get traction and go across the country and, you know, go to Florida, go to Idaho, go to, you know, North Carolina and get instructors involved there with our curriculum and make sure that they get involved in their states, and we start chapters. I have a chapter that we're tentatively working on in Hawaii, you know, which is a big challenge because of their gun laws. But the whole point is I want to be able to, you know, we're not going anywhere. You know, we're going to continue to move forward. We just need to get the help that we need and just keep putting out positive messages into the world and showcasing, you know, responsible gun ownership, that guns are normal, you know, getting kids involved in the shooting sports, completely normal, and just enjoying our two-way rights. You know, that's the goal. And, you know, I guarantee that, you know, 10 years down the road, when we're still doing what we're doing, you know, we're going to have way more kids involved and we're going to be in a better position where we can lobby and help protect our civil liberties.
Right on. And I think we'll leave it at that. We're almost hit right at the hour mark. And okay. I know you've got other things to do today. I appreciate your adapting to our schedule, trying to do this on Mondays. And we'll wrap it up with, I'll give you the last word here. Let us know, let people know where to find you, where to support you, how to support you, maybe some of the people that are supporting you. Give you as much time as you want.
Okay. So you can find us on our website, kidssafefoundation.org. There's two S's there. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We have Substack now that I put out every Monday. And, you know, so I'm putting out a lot of content about, you know, kind of what we do and the products that we use there. And you can donate through our website. We do have a Patreon account as well. And, you know, I put stuff on YouTube typically every day, like a YouTube short. And it's all about just getting people out there. You know, some of the sponsors that I'd like to thank is obviously Vol-Tec USA, you know, Aero Precision, Stag Arms, Ballistic Advantage. You know, you guys are our heroes and you guys help kind of keep us going and make sure that we have everything that we need so we can continue to work forward on your behalf to help protect kids. And I guess leaving here, my biggest thing I would say is get involved. If it's not with our organizations, get involved at a state or local level. Maybe think about running for office in your state or your community. Maybe think about writing legislation to help, you know, further our cause and help protect our rights. So these are all things that we should really be talking about. And I would love to figure out a way we do like a workshop where we can, you know, bring different organizations together, different thought processes together on a common goal, on something that that's tangible, that we can put into action and actually get something done that's going to help reverse the stuff that we're seeing across the country.
I'm going to leave it there. Thanks again for joining us. And thanks for everybody for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.